And I did prepare myself to preach from Hebrews chapter 6. In fact, right up until, well, this morning. And things changed, because as I looked at the text, which would be 13 through 20 of chapter 6, and I contemplated the day that has dawned upon us with regard to this ministry labor we have ahead of us, I felt that I might not do, how would I put it, I just felt like I might fall short of what I should be seeking to accomplish with regard to faithfully expounding, explaining, and exhorting from this particular text. I felt led to do something different today. I trust it's of the Lord. Now, as far as us doing this ministry this afternoon, you know that we do not ever set aside the preaching of the word, the worship of God, the meeting together of the saints, even for ministry. We're meeting earlier to accommodate the ministry, but we are meeting, and we always will. But when this many people come to our own hometown and are gathered together, even on the Lord's Day, this many lost souls, we want to go out. Yes, we've been out Friday afternoon. Yes, we were out Saturday, all of us. But this is even new people and people we haven't reached with the ones we have, and many. And this is the day always traditionally with this biannual event where we are able to give out the most gospel tracts in this one event within a couple of hours of hard, challenging labor. And so, by the grace of God, and we trust with his blessing, we go out. And we will have his blessing if we go out in faith, trusting in him. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about that today because a text came into my mind, and it's actually, interestingly enough, it's from a chapter in Romans that I would be going to next week, Lord willing. And it is Romans 4. I'll be going to a number of different places in the scriptures next week, including in Genesis and Romans, several places in Romans, Galatians, given what that text in Hebrews chapter 6, was it 13 through 18, I believe, or 20, I think, some of the things that are spoken of there. But particularly, one verse kept running through my mind, beginning even last night, but certainly then this morning, and I got up and made a few more notes on my other sermon, and then I realized it's not the message I'm to preach today. The particular verse was this, Romans 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we know the context of that. And we know it has to do with Abraham's justification. And we know, as we have preached this before, and there's other places in the scriptures that apply here too, we know that it has to do, yes, with the coming Messiah. Now, we're not going to go into all that. Someone that maybe isn't familiar, a new Christian that might hear this, might say, well, I don't understand. How does that text, how does that have to do with anything with the coming Messiah? Well, it does, as by the flesh from Abraham's line through Isaac. And we have many scriptures to share next week with regard to that and what Abraham knew and believed. But right now, I'll just read just 14, just only through 20. Now, we're in Romans chapter 4. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. But of course, there is a law. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, that it would be by grace. It was of faith that it would be of grace or might be of grace to the end. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, I can't go into explaining law and law. There is the moral law by which no man is justified, of course, and we have that spoken of. But there's also, of course, the law of Moses, the ceremonial and judicial law particularly, but certainly the ceremonial law. And the Jews were of that, clinging to that covenant, of course, that Old Testament covenant. And we dare not go into all of that now. We want an exhortation here, not a long and detailed message. We will speak more on this next week. It's always a little bit nerve-straining for me to gloss over anything too lightly, but we're going to have to go past this. You've been taught on it over and over again. And so we go past that to get to our text. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. Two types of hope, isn't it? We'll speak of that more next week. But there's the hope of the world, and there's that true hope of the believer. And so the world would say impossible. The world, with regard to the reality of the resurrection and truly the life to follow, says impossible. Yeah, it's a vain hope, many do. No, we have the true hope. We hope against that hope. We have the lively hope. Believed in hope, the promise of God with regard to that hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Again, what does that comprehend? We'll speak on it next week more, as we have in the past. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. But the text we want to zero in on, as we'll talk much more about this particular passage next week, in the context of that text we'll take up, Lord willing, in Hebrews chapter 6. What we want to zero in on is this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we know Abraham was first justified unto salvation, as everyone has always been. The only way anyone has ever been justified unto life is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Abraham's case, in the coming Christ alone. And then he went on to live by faith, didn't he? Galatians 3, 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now there is no other means or merit or power by which the fallen children of Adam, any of them, can be saved except the hearing of the gospel or reading of it. Certainly the merits of the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and the power, the effectual power of the Holy Spirit. And this by grace alone, through the gift of faith alone, in Christ alone. And the apostle declares by the Spirit in Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so Paul was ashamed of the gospel. It's the very way he was saved, by the merits of Jesus, by the means God had set forth by which he saved sinners. And it's by the power of God unto salvation, by grace alone, through faith alone, the believing of the gospel, the believing of the gospel message in Christ alone. So why would Paul be ashamed? He wasn't. And what does that mean with regard to his preaching, with regard to his, if you want to call it evangelism, of course, too, in other ways? You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and see what it means, him trusting in the means God had given him for the salvation of sinners, the means by which he was saved, the power by which he was saved, the merits of Christ, his blood and righteousness, faith in Christ and his blood and righteousness. That's how he was saved. It was all by the power of God, I say. So why would he be ashamed of the gospel? Why would he resort to the wisdom of men in the preaching of the gospel or sharing it? Why would he resort to the so-called power of men? He wouldn't, and he didn't, and he condemned it. And why would he be silent? Why would he think, the world, they're under Satan's power, they're just children of wrath, they have dark hearts, they're at enmity with God, so was he. How was he saved? He was born again too, wasn't he? All that are saved are born again. How does that take place? John 3, the verse 7 and 8, the words of the Savior to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." It's a work of the Holy Spirit with the gospel, the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is this? What is this that when we're in hard times, dry times, that so many Christians decide, what's the use of sharing the gospel out in the world the way people like us do? What's the use? What do you see when you go out? We walk by faith, not by sight. And what is all this with these gimmicks and gadgets to win people to Christ? That faith by which the just live is the essential, fundamental, enduring faith that is a effectual work of the Holy Spirit by the gospel, which without which there is no life, there is no hope, there is no new man. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." And James says, "Of his own will begat he us, of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, all that are in Christ, justifying the life and in Christ and born again, they have faith, don't they? Some are stronger in faith, some are weaker in faith, but the just do live by faith. And even those quite strong in faith, when they're faced with various trials and tribulations of life, they may falter. We may falter a bit. We don't lose our faith, but we may falter. We may sometimes be a bit perplexed. We may feel a sense of dread come for a little while, maybe, or even a little fear. Certainly. But I want to get to my point with regard to this of Abraham, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There's a very important truth there with regard to what we are doing this afternoon. And I want to drive home that truth. Those who are justified by faith, that is the fundamental faith we talk about. It's the faith by which we're justified. We have it. Those who have this faith, who have in their heart the grace of faith rooted and grounded in Christ, they ought never then to falter or stagger or even be weak in faith whatsoever with regards to the very means by which they came to faith in Christ and were born again. I speak of the gospel and the preaching and sharing of the gospel, the making it known out in the world. What is this? What is this? Staggering there. Staggering with regard to that. This is the means by which we were saved. This is the method. This is the means. This is the power. Why would we not go out in faith, trusting in God? I don't know how to say this even, because it just, to me, if I'm going to stagger, I stagger there, that so many people seem to think the Holy Spirit has lost his power and God is no longer sovereign, who works when he will with regard to the salvation of sinners and with regard to even always using his people when they go out in faith, true faith, in love, in all sincerity, to share the gospel. I mean, this is fundamental. If we hear some bad news, so to speak, if we hear something that could be really a bad thing from the doctor, we don't know. We might be set back about a loved one ourselves. We might be staggered a bit even. There's so many cases where we realize we need more faith. But to me, first there's that faith by which we're justified, but then that same faith with regard to trusting, believing God, faith in the, as I say, the means, method, and merit by which we are saved, that of all things, we should be strong in faith there, shouldn't we? We experienced it, and we experience it every day. Why wouldn't we be strong there in faith? Why wouldn't we, as we take the gospel out, and why wouldn't we take it out? Why would we act as if, no, the Holy Spirit can't save sinners anymore. The Holy Spirit doesn't save sinners anymore. That staggers me. And if we don't have that faith in the power of God, in the faithful gospel, then I question how strong a faith we have. It must be very, very weak indeed. The gospel. Here we need to be as what was said of Abraham then, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Those who are strong in faith walk by faith, don't they? Not by sight. They might say, well, how many people have you seen being saved? Not many. We know there are more than what we see, but not many in this dry time as we pray for the Lord to bring about an awakening and work with great power that way. But we walk by faith, and I trust faithfulness. We don't believe there's anything wrong with the gospel, and so we have to adorn it with gimmicks and gadgets, and such as we saw a so-called fundamentalist church the other day out and giving out, I believe it was either it was Testaments or it was New Testaments, or I believe it was Knowing Them. And there's some real good people there, but that church is sliding. I believe it was the Epistle of Romans, probably, and the Gospel of John. That's what they used to give out. And credit to them, if you will, or I don't know if we should put it that way, but, you know, they were out. But they had to include coupons to various booths at this event. You know, that's some merchandising of the gospel. That is saying to the world, we would like you to come to our business, so to speak. That's how the world would see it. And here are some free things to try to get you to come. And then, of course, the world takes that as meaning yes, and put money in your collection plate and so forth. Now, that's not trusting in the gospel. That's not being strong in faith. Just because our eyes right now see the state of our nation, and it's a time where this has happened before, hasn't it? Many times. It is a dry time. It is a dark time. It is a hard time. It's hard plowing out there, you might say. But the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation, and we should be strong in faith with that. We should be strong in faith, as Abraham was strong in faith. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. Those who are strong in faith, and I trust that we are. I hope that we are. We don't say that in any kind of pride. We pray that we will be strong in faith and continue to be and not get discouraged. But these labor for souls then, by faith, not by sight, trusting in the power of God by the gospel. It's the very power, the very gospel and the power of God by which we were saved and born again. It just seems so counter to even right reason to say, yes, I was saved that way. And I stand today, I trust, in a right relation with God and a member of a faithful church, a scriptural faithful church. Unadorned, if you will, and it's no true adornment, of course, with all of the trappings of the world that so many have, to have experienced that we have experiential faith, and then to say, but I believe now it's just not as powerful anymore. I believe now that we need to, if we're going to go out, at least let's add something to it. I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. In fact, I scruple not to say that this is the most simple and fundamental of the measurement of our faith. If we will not trust in the sovereign wisdom and prerogatives and power of God by the gospel in the salvation of souls and go out in faith to labor for the salvation of the perishing, shunning all but the simple, pure gospel of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace and love, what sort of faith do we have in the first place? So this afternoon, and this is the other thing I want to get at, our first concern as we go out, I trust in faith, our first concern above all else is the glory of God. Someone might say, isn't it the salvation of the perishing? Oh, we have a great concern for that. But first, it's the glory of God. And how do we glorify God? Some might think that this about Abraham, that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, speaks of Abraham praising God. No, he gave glory to God by being strong in faith. This was a God-given faith, in fact, and it brought glory to God, and how God then worked and did exactly what he said he would do by his own power, according to his sovereign prerogatives. So we go out first for the glory of God. And if we're going out first for the glory of God, we have to go out being strong in faith in the means God has given us to the salvation of souls. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, concerning evangelism, the sharing of the gospel of the lost, never forget that all that is contrary to faith is contrary to winning souls and contrary to the glory of God. Strong faith in the love, grace, and mercy of God, but certainly in the wisdom and sovereign power of God with regard to the saving of souls by the power of the Holy Spirit with the gospel, this gives glory to God. This shows his power, his grace, his love, his mercy, but his power. That gospel, shorn of all the, what could we say, things that others would attach to it. And that gospel trusted, those trusting in the promise of God and in the gospel being the power of God, going out that way, this brings glory to God, trusting that he will do as he will with it, and he will indeed bless the sowing in his own time, in his own perfect time. We ought to be strong in faith in everything. But I say if we cannot be strong in faith concerning the very means and merit and power of God by which we were saved and born again and became heirs of that eternal inheritance of glory, what sort of faith is that? How strong is that faith? How does that give glory to God? There will be shortly within blocks of this place a great multitude of perishing souls assembled. It is for us then to go out strong in faith, fired by love, trusting in the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord, never doubting that the Lord will bless, he will richly bless the sowing of gospel seed. And that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126, verses 6. In our gospel labors, then, let us be resolved never, ever to trust in anything but the power of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, the very means and merit and effectual power, I repeat again, by which we ourselves were justified into life and born again as the children of God, with that lively, abiding assurance of the hope of the resurrection and the glorious eternity to follow. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, giving glory to God. This is what we have to be. That will give glory to God. Let those that may be of new evangelical churches or whatever they may be mock, scorn, and tell us, what good does it do? How many of you seen saved? You've got to do more than this. They can keep their gadgets, their gimmicks. They can keep all of that, which is absolutely obnoxious to the Lord, I trust. And it also is an insult to him. It's not trusting in his power, the power of God unto salvation to all that believeth, the gospel. I want to close with a text that might surprise you. But all that I've said with regard to how we were saved and the power we experienced, all I've said about the gospel that we believed and the experiential faith that was worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit with that simple gospel, that faithful gospel. I want to relate that here to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Christian has that hope. He hopes against hope as well that way. The world doesn't have it. They're without God and without hope. We have it. How did we get it? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, we have this. We've been born again. We've been adopted as children of God. We've been given this inheritance and glory. We have the sure hope of the resurrection. How did we get that? Where did that come from? Who worked that in us? How did he work that in us? It's by the power of God unto salvation. It's by the Holy Spirit. We're begotten by the Word. This is what we trust in, the power of God, the means of God, the merits of Christ. We've experienced this, and we have this. We are not going to go to some other way supposedly of saving sinners, of seeing them saved. We don't save them. But we're used in an instrumental way sharing the gospel. We are not going to swerve to the side. We're not going to be weak in faith. We want to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be strong in faith. Others may say something else is needed. Others may say, why go out? It doesn't do any good. It always does good. For one thing, it always gives glory to God when you go out strong in faith. It's His sovereign prerogative to save a multitude or save one through all this labor. But we want to give glory to Him first. And then, yes, we pray He would bring in a mighty harvest. And in due time, I trust He will. And so we have this exhortation. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And let us be as Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen.